Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back.
It's Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday episode. Currently, the Braves are still playing the Tampa Bay Rays. It is the bottom of the fifth. No balls, no strikes. Braves are losing 4-0.
Okay.
Yikes.
Typical Braves game. All right, well, let's talk about Dune then.
Dune it is. We are talking about minute 27 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was a thick episode, and for those of you that stuck around for all of it, thank you.
Yeah.
We love you.
A lot of lore there.
This episode is going to be a lot shorter. As I said yesterday in the closing, this episode is almost exclusively, at least in the movie, all the dialogue is in Chukobza, so we're just going to kind of read through it and talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there's some good... This is not to say that this minute is dry by
any stretch of imagination. No.
It's just not dry. Less content.
The minute is a lot of arguing and a sudden interjection by Paul.
Yep, that's right. So we agreed yesterday that even though half of Stilgar's sentence was cut off, because we don't know the syntax of Chukobza, we went ahead and said the whole thing at the end of the movie portion of yesterday's minute. So we will go ahead and give that full quote again to start this one off. He says, "You saw it with your own eyes.
The mother of the Lisan al Gaib shall survive the holy poison, and she did."
Yes.
Now I want to make a note. Mother and she are both capitalized in the subtitles.
So is the word he later on.
Yes. That part, not as surprising.
Sure.
But the point is that they hold the mother of the Lisan al Gaib, not to the degree of reverence that the Lisan al Gaib himself is held, but she is still, you know, held to a very high degree of reverence, not unlike the, I grew up Catholic tradition of holding, Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the, you know, extent that you would hold, you know, Jesus in that relationship there. Though with Catholics, there's also the whole thing with the saints and everything. Protestants don't give a shit about the saints.
We don't have to get into that.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that. And then he says, "As written."
Yes. Now let's talk about this for a second.
Okay.
One, I fucking love the delivery of the "and she did" part.
Yep.
I thought there was so much sass behind that. We're getting to see
sassy Stilgar, baby. Let's fucking go.
If it were in English, it would sound something a little bit like this. It said, "The mother of Lisan al Gaib shall survive the holy poison." And she did. "As written."
To which Chani immediately barks back, "Her people wrote that."
Which is maybe one of the most insightful lines of dialogue we've gotten all movie.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I'm slipping into book notes here for a second. They do not draw the line between the Bene Gesserit and Fremen culture. Like they don't explicitly call out the influence.
Yeah. The movie does a lot more of that black and white shit.
Yeah.
With like different sides of the influence aisle, so to speak.
Sure.
And Stilgar's response here is, "Blasphemy. The prophecy has been accomplished." To which Shishkali, the character that was very briefly mentioned in the book, but Denis I don't want to say created because she was, because he Shishkali was a man in the book turned into a female character to act as a sounding board almost for Chani and a relationship that Chani had with another Fremen of her age in that same demographic of Fremen that don't fully fall in line with the results of the Missionaria Productiva that the Bene Gesserit had with the Fremen. She responds, the Mahdi must be Fremen. And first of all, I want to give props here to Suhila Yaqub for just the deliverance of this line, because she's like stamping at Stilgar, yelling it, and it's like, it's so, like, the passion in that delivery. Visceral. Yeah, it's so visceral. Yeah. And I see it as, it's not that they don't believe in the idea of the Mahdi,
mm-hmm.
but they don't believe in the Bene Gesserit's idea of the Mahdi, which is not...
Yeah.
Which, okay, so for clarification, the Lisan al-Ghaib and the Mahdi are two different ideas, correct?
Okay. I don't think so.
Okay. We'll cut that then.
We could be getting into a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit debate.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, though. I'm not going to cut this, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a little bit outside my knowledge right now. Sorry, continue what you had to say. Sorry.
I was just going to say, and then at that point, both sides are just clamoring at each other.
Yeah.
And Chani says, Arrakis must be freed by its own people. That is the thing that stirs Paul to mm-hmm. action.
Okay. Before we get into Paul, though.
And yeah. I was going to say, now, whatever.
Let's pause there for yeah. a second. Yeah. So this is a incredibly self-aware conversation that they're having. It seems to be no secret, at least to Chani, that the Bene Gesserit have been meddling in the Fremen culture and their beliefs.
Would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for the skinny white boy.
Yeah. Right. That was a big departure from the books. You know, they don't seem to have this knowledge of exactly what the Bene Gesserit have done and of the Missionaria Protectiva.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing all this, I was kind of like, well, how much do they fucking know? You know, how much history of the Bene Gesserit involvement do these people know about?
Yeah.
Because doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of the Missionaria Protectiva? If they know about it?
Yeah, the whole point is for them to, like, subterfuge and, like,
yeah, so it's weird. That's
psychological, not psychological warfare, but psychological influencing, to the point where they effectively brainwash the Fremen into, like, believing these prophecies, yet Chani and the younger group are just like, yeah, no, that's bullshit.
Yeah. So I don't know, it's the movie, it's very strange.
I understand why the movie doesn't, but I feel like if there was just a little bit, they could have had like a 2-minute scene where maybe they're just doing like a, hey, something isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we've been thinking about. Here's what we've been talking amongst each other. We're just dropped into all of this after the fact there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe, you know what? We know that there was a lot, even, you know, 27 minutes into this movie, we know that what we've seen had a lot of stuff cut from it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was something that was written and shot for and just was cut out.
Could be. Yeah.
All the more reason for WB and Legendary to just give us a fucking extended edition. But Denis has said that he's not interested in doing that.
It's not his style, man. Not his style. So when Stilgar says the mother of Lisan al-Ghaib shall survive the holy poison, and she did, as written.
She did. Sassy Stilgar.
We'll get to hear this a little bit more, but I wanted to point out any sufficiently trained Bene Gesserit sister could do this.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, jumping ahead, that's exactly what Paul says. Paul yeah. says she's right, talking about Chani being how Arrakis must be, you know, freed by its own people. She's mm-hmm. right. She's right. And that, like,
yeah,
gets people to shut up. And Paul's just like, Yeah, that's not a miracle. Like, fucking, they get trained how to do this. This is like a Tuesday for her.
Yeah.
Like, everything that y'all are arguing about, this is all like...
He's confirming.
This is what they do. Yeah. He is effectively siding with Chani in this argument to put down Stilgar and all of his followers. I don't want to say his followers, but his compatriots.
People in that thought camp, yeah.
Yeah. To say, look, y'all have been fucking brainwashed.
Yep.
Chani and all of them are right. And I'm not here to be your savior. I want to, you know, learn your ways to fight alongside you, because all I give a shit about is disrupting spice production so I can get to the emperor.
Yeah.
And confront the emperor about the death of my father.
Yep.
Now, that part he doesn't say directly, but that's... I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. This is one of the moments where I feel like they are telling, not showing in the movie.
And but it's so weird, because just a few minutes before, Paul was very, I must sway the non-believers.
Yeah, it is. He's very hot and cold on this issue.
Now, maybe he's swaying the non-believers by acting under the guise of wanting to side with them in this argument. But it's like...
You think he's playing both sides?
Yeah, I think he's doing a little double agent action here.
Okay. We'll have to see how that works out for him.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Let's see how it works out. Yeah, and he just wants to fight beside him, like you said. It really raises the question of how much do the Fremen know about the larger plans?
Yeah.
And not necessarily the future plans, but like the larger like machinations of groups in history to influence their culture. Because it seems, if you're taking everything that Chani's saying at face value, it seems like they know a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah. A lot more than they do in the books. That's for sure.
Yeah. Which is a little bit of a narrative shortcut. Appropriate for a movie, not appropriate for a book, which is why we don't get to, that's not even mentioned in the book. I'll dive right into my book notes, because I really don't have much at all today for it.
Yeah. Art and Soul has nothing for the rest of the week, so we're good over there. Encyclopedia doesn't really have anything to offer for us here as well.
There is little to no notion of this level of derisiveness that we're seeing. So the whole two factions, the young folks versus the old folks, some of them believe in the prophecy, some of them don't. That is not anywhere to be found in the books.
Yeah.
Chani is fully on board with the prophecy, and while she may have some reservations about Paul specifically, she's like fully believes that the Lisan al-Ghaib and the Mahdi and like all these notions that Stilgar is talking about will come to pass. So it's very, I'm going to keep ringing this bell, but it's like, it's kind of jarring reading the book and then watching the movie and reading the book and watching the movie to see these two very different representations of Chani.
Yep.
So,
well, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they come back in line with each other towards the end, I believe, but a little bit. We will have plenty of minutes to talk about that, so let's not get into it. But just right now, I mean, Chani is the person who led his mother through the Water of Life ceremony and kicked off the orgy. So, yeah, clearly she's down.
Yeah.
That's it, man. I'm just going to leave it with that, because it's very different. Felt like some narrative shortcuts. I understand it for the purposes of a movie. But it's still just a little bit odd. If you think about it in the minutia that we are thinking about it.
Sure. Yeah. It works great for the movie. I think we just kind of have to... We might as well talk about it now. Dune Part 2 as a movie is a fantastic movie. I love it, obviously. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be, you know, doing a podcast talking about the movie if I didn't love it.
Yeah.
But I think we just need to get, you know, talk about the elephant in the room in that it is, for the high notes, the same.
Mm-hmm.
But anything other than the highest of notes, we're going to see a lot of deviation.
Sure.
From here on out, especially with timelines.
Yep.
So,
buckle up, folks.
Yeah. We're going to have a lot of these, like, but in the book, this is happening, and the yada, yada, yada. And it's like not as straightforward as part one.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
well, we'll be sure to call each and every one of those out as we see them.
Sure. Absolutely. That's why we're here. In the meantime, that's it for today. But conversation continues elsewhere. On Blue Sky, we are at DuneMinute.com. You can also email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd ever like to get in touch with us that way. We will be back with a Thursday episode tomorrow. Hopefully the Braves pick it up.
All right.
We'll see. All right. We'll talk to you all later.
See ya.